headed back in. Turned in! A second of the game for Van Veen, and he is loving it. Cornelius on the edge of the ball. Oh, wow! How special is that for his first Motherwell goal? For Slattery, and he shot away! It's a fantastic strike! And it's thundered in by Liam Grimshaw! What a moment for him! The fans' favourite!
Hello and welcome to the MSC Podcast as Motherwell head into the final two games of the season. Myself and Pepe will look ahead to what will be our massive 5 days. We'll look back in the victory at Ross County and the defeat against Dundee United. We'll preview both games against Hearts and against Celtic on Saturday. And we'll see what else is making the news from a Motherwell perspective over the course of the next 45 minutes or so. How are you, mate?
All good, all good. Just hopefully no spoilers tonight for the Liverpool game. I'm paused again.
Right, okay, well, I can reassure you for now, I'm currently got Inverness versus Arbroath in the background, so I certainly won't be spoiling the Liverpool game for now, but there is only 12 minutes to go, so we'll wait and see how it works out. We'll start with the game on Saturday, a massive win. Now, I think it's fair to say that we kind of hope that the team would get a bit at least of life from that victory over St Mirren and the 2-2 draw against Livingston that got us into the top six. The first two games post-split certainly didn't give that impression. A really lacklustre defeat at home to Rangers and then the defeat at Tannadice. A bad result, maybe more than a bad performance. We then moved into the Saturday. It was must-win. It was set up quite nicely still because results continued to go our way. And we got the job done. Second half, Kevin Van Veen goal from the penalty spot, sealing the victory. And it now sets us up so, so nicely. We're 2 points clear of County in fifth place. We can look up. If you, a game against a team that have got nothing to play for tomorrow night, while Ross County will go to Ibrox. Dundee United host Celtic. So, come the end of tomorrow, we could be sitting in fourth place, which is quite ridiculous to consider. But first of all, Pepe, a bit of character from the players. They were battling with a lot of illness in the squad, but that apparently is going to continue into tomorrow's game as well. But a very, very significant 3 points. And it does change the outlook in the landscape drastically from when we last recorded.
Well, it definitely does. I think, if I'm honest with you, when I seen the kind of headlines for Graeme Alexander's press conference, and he alluded to the fact that we're struggling for bodies, and I thought it was just his usual kind of bullshit tactic that he was trying to put Ross County in a false sense of security. And then once I was driving up, and my wee boy read the team out, and I thought, what's going on here? And then automatically, I had Van Veen in my starting 11. When I seen him on the bench, I thought maybe there is something to this. No Wilde, no McGabby. So right away, I thought, this is going to be a tough afternoon. But again, I've used this saying throughout the season, and it was game management. He obviously knew that he was trying to keep the game tight. Letting them play as much as they wanted to play. They bringing on the two kind of key players, these two best signings in my opinion, and with the exception of Liam Kelly, Slattery and Van Veen, and they did make a difference. At the game, I've got to say that I was shocked when the referee pointed to the spot, and even with the sports scene analysis, I still wasn't sure. But all credit to the Motherwell, the video, when they've slowed it down, and it's the one time that I'm actually thinking, you know what, that does look like a penalty, and the referee was in the perfect position for it. Great to go up there and get a win. And as you say, it's weird that we're potentially going to be finishing fourth. I was quite critical of Graham Alexander the last time that we recorded, and actually felt quite guilty about how negative it was. One of Ben's pals, Dad's Mark, had said that he got up one morning in a good mood going to his work and listened to me and you and nearly crashed his car in despair with how negative we were, but I don't know how else we could have put it. The one thing I will say is, though, I mean, we're sitting talking about almost being in fourth, and I think the majority of our fans are still unhappy, and I probably include myself in that. I don't really know what the situation is or why that is. I mean, during the game at Ross County, I mean, it was nothing each, and one of the kind of very few quiet spells, because the fans were in full voice, there was numerous shouts of "fuck off, Alexander." And as you say, I can understand it. Do I agree with it happening during the game? No, I probably don't. Am I completely happy with the way that the team's playing and what we're watching? Definitely not. But there's no way that the board are going to sack a manager or the manager's going to walk away unless he gets a better offer. So I think we're just going to need to accept the type of manager and the type of football that we've got until that changes, because it's not going to go anywhere. We just need to get behind the team on Wednesday night. And as you say, could be sitting in fourth position, which is an unreal achievement when we've won, two games in the league this calendar year.
And the one thing, Saturday, I didn't think was a drastically improved performance, but when you come out in the end of a positive result, you do put the performance to one side. And given the significance of the game, the performance really pales into insignificance. It's not important to play well. It's important to pick up those 3 points. We've done that. And now it's maybe just, can we shit show together one more victory? Because I think that should we get these 3 points tomorrow, I can't see a way back for Ross County. I really can't. And even then, with the magnitude of the game at Tannadice, from a Celtic point of view, in terms of wrapping up the league, I think that 3 points and Dundee United playing Ross County on the final day would all add up to a place in the UEFA Conference League. Do I think that it's particularly merited? Maybe not in performances, but they always say the league table doesn't lie. So it's now just, after moaning about the performances all season, I'm now kind of going full circle and saying, really, tomorrow night's performance matters not a jot. It's just that final result. And if we can get 3 points against the Hearts team, whose focus is going to be on a Scottish Cup final and not fully on league matters, they're 17 points ahead of Dundee United in fourth. They're 18 points ahead of us in the table, so they've got nothing to worry about. They've had third wrapped up before the split fixtures. Yes, they went to Tannadice and got a good result. They held Ross County to a draw. Maybe the focus is now turning towards just wrapping players in cotton wool. It's a long league season. They've been involved in the cup right up until the final as well. So I think that the performance, as I say, doesn't matter. But the other factor I would say is, it's one of these ones where we've been given the perfect opportunity. We can't waste it now. We had that fantastic first half of the season where we put ourselves in such a strong position. We've almost thrown that away. Tomorrow night, it's all set up for us. And it's now Europe has muddles to lose. The pressure's on, but it sets up a brilliant night, doesn't it?
It has made a huge difference to be at this stage of the season and be really looking forward to going to that final game at Fir Park and really have something to play for. I mean, there's been so many times where we've been fighting relegation and avoiding playoffs and stuff like that. So to be going in there, as you say, I don't think it'll be... I suppose it can be mathematically sound tomorrow if results go our way. And it would be a great finish to what's probably been quite a poor season. And hopefully then what that does is that it gives us a positive frame of mind getting into the summer, and we're really looking forward to the European draw. We know this time that with the pandemic hopefully been put in the bin, that we'll be able to look forward to planning our trip wherever we go. I'm pretty sure that we would, if we get similar type draws in Ireland or Wales or whatever, we'd all be going. So that itself makes the whole kind of summer really positive. On the other hand, when you look at it, if we had gone to that top six and had been up to Ross County and not get the result and lost our season over, I think there'd been a whole bit of doom and gloom and a fair bit of questions directed at the management team and probably the people making the decisions at the club with regards to the way that we were going forward. So for me, it's tomorrow is so important, a really massive game. And even now that I think sometimes when we do this, you don't realise how much you're looking forward to it. I'm really, really, really looking forward to the game tomorrow, and hopefully we can go out and, I don't care if it's a shit show, 1-0 OG, and we're holding on for the full game, or get out and get a brilliant performance. But the important thing, as you say, is getting these 3 points, and at the end of the day, that's what matters. We can say all this stuff about us losing, only winning 2 league games this season, but at the end of the day, the points don't lie. We've got enough points to finish in the position where we're at. We've got enough points just now to be fifth in the league. And I suppose that's what we need to be judged on.
Yeah, 100%. It can't. It's the whole kind of merit discussion has been kind of ongoing for quite some time now. Do Motherwell deserve to qualify for Europe? Now, we watch the team most weeks, and it's certainly been a bit of a doom and gloom since play resumed in January, right up until the very last podcast that we recorded. But it's one of these ones where if the likes of Aberdeen and Hibs are going to have a bad season, then those are the seasons where it's up to the Motherwells and Dundee Uniteds and the rest, really, to step up and make a play for European football. Yes, we've had a down moments and our disappointments, but at the same time, we have registered some significant victories, most notably against your two victories over Aberdeen in the league, the victory over Hearts in November at Fir Park, and it just needs to be more of the same. Don't I dwell on the Dundee United game too much. I took it in the stream. I know that you were away with Wisha Wickham for the weekend, so we're unable to see it. The narrative of the game was we had a hell of a lot of chances, to be perfectly honest. We should have taken something out of the game, or could consider ourselves very unfortunate not to. And at that point, though, you lose the game and you're not interested. Again, it's, the result is all that matters at this point in the season. It just felt like another hard luck story, or another case of let's open the book of excuses. I don't know what your thoughts were at that point, but it felt like we almost had a mountain to climb in terms of just the overwhelming negativity that was surrounding the performances and the results.
I think, obviously, my reaction at the time when you hear that the chances that we had, as I said, I didn't see the stream. I've watched the highlights back quite a few times. Some of the chances that we had in that game, particularly Tierney and then you Woolery, it was so frustrating. That game, we should have won that game. And it seems to have been, when we went to Tannadice, obviously that's the third time. And it feels as if every time we've went there, we've kind of just never been able to go over the line. But that was the worst that we've had so far with regards to chances and stuff like that. But if you turn it on its head, what we've just spoke about with regards to Ross County, we didn't create as many chances. The odd couple, and then obviously winning the game, we what I'll say is a dubious penalty. End of the day, the referee thought it was a penalty. And we take our chance. Liam Kelly pulls out a great save. So at the end of the day, if we want to play the performances where we're creating all the chances against Dundee United and coming away with nothing, or having a shit show and sneaking a 1-0 with a penalty, I'm sure we would take that all the time. So the two performances are kind of polar opposites. Both brought elements of a negativity. Still had grumblings of fans, as I said, with regards to Ross County. But at the end of the day, I think after the Dundee United game, I still was confident going up to Ross County. And I'm always confident with anybody we play at Firth Park, with exception probably the Old Firm. But just getting back to, when you look at the season as a whole, I know we've still got sorry, a couple of games. We've put in some decent performances, particularly away from home at the Old Firm. Obviously, we've went to Ibrox twice, and we've been unlucky to come away with just draws in their games. So there has been times in the season where things have looked decent. We've had wee runs. I think it's just been unfortunate that since the turn of the year, we have been awful. So I've kind of went round full circle, and I'm trying to be positive, because it doesn't really get us anywhere being negative. At the end of the day, we know what it's like to be a Motherwell fan. Not everybody's going to agree, and I'm not going to fill it with anybody that says, I want Ridley Alexander. I'm still in the camp that I'm quite happy for him to be there. Another summer, we still need. The one thing that I will say is, I think some of the signings that he's made, they've not quite worked out. Oyala, for one, I just think he looks as if he's torn a caravan. I think O'Donnell's looked as if he's improving. I thought he made a difference to the back line. Although there were still moans and groans, which is always going to be the case. But that's football, isn't it? It's different opinions. I'm probably 70-30 in favour of him staying, and seeing how we go next season, even if we don't get into Europe. But at the end of the day, it's all about opinions, and I totally appreciate it. And I can understand why there's as much kind of a negativity surrounding it, but the facts don't lie. The facts is that this time tomorrow we could almost be touching fourth position in guaranteed European football. And if we said that to us at the start of the season, every single Motherwell fan would have taken that without even a second thought.
I think what you said, negativity doesn't get us anywhere. I think there's maybe just a time and a place for it as well. We can kind of have the post-mortem of the season from 2 o'clock on Sunday, when the season's over, and you can look back and the highs and the lows and what worked out and what didn't work out, and then maybe make a more evaluated and rounded decision, because it's sitting on a knife edge at the moment. Win tomorrow and it's sheer delight and we've done it, essentially. Don't get the result and then we maybe go back to square one. So it's just so fluid, the situation, where it's changing rapidly. I think on a week-by-week basis since the turn of the year, there has been an ever-growing dissatisfaction about how things were going. But we often say as well, football fans are fickle. And if Motherwell will reach Europe, it's not going to be the situation like was suggested 3 or 4 weeks ago, that folk wouldn't be getting season tickets next season. They would never be back unless the manager's been. That's a nonsense. That's not going to happen. If Motherwell achieve European football, I would imagine that many of the naysayers, I'm not saying that every one of them will return happy, but I think that they'll overlook some of these tougher moments during the season and concentrate and enjoy the good times, because these opportunities won't arise very often. There's not many seasons since the inception of the split that we've went in with a great deal to play for as well. We've had that kind of spell where we're fighting for second place and European finishes. But there's been many seasons recently. You look at even the last time that we were in the top six and actually playing football, because the last time we finished within the top six, there was no top six fixtures. So you're going back to when Mark McGee was in charge, the last time that we even made the top six. So Graham Alexander's achieved something that his predecessor, Stephen Robinson, hasn't managed to achieve in his time there. And I think that a lot of people look back in Robinson's time with an overwhelming degree of positivity, given that he got to these finals. And it felt like at times there was younger players coming through and such like. Maybe a lot of the kind of outside factors have hampered Graham Alexander somewhat. He's not had the option of watching young boys in the academy and such like. At times, even during this season, you're just working week on week to have a team avoiding COVID and getting enough players out in the pitch. There's just different mitigating factors that wouldn't normally exist during a normal season of football. And during his first 4 or 5 months as well, when he took over in January of last year, it was the exact same. So would I say that I'm happy with the manager? No, I'm not. And I think I was almost 100% sure that I thought there was a real need for change. Does that affect in any way we're going along to the football? No, it doesn't, because I don't support Graham Alexander. I support Motherwell Football Club, and that's the long and the short of it, basically. I'll be there tomorrow hoping with everything I've got that we can do it. And if we do, I'll be absolutely delighted. I'm not going to... I don't like negativity for negativity's sake, basically. I think that's what I'm trying to say. We've got ourselves into this position. Qualification for Europe will be a thing that the club can really go to town on and be absolutely delighted with. It'll be a huge revenue stream for the club, potentially, as well. It's a massive positive in a year where we've not had many positives. It's in a time where we've not had many positives. So let's look forward to it. The post-mortem for the manager or anything like that, that can wait until the middle of May, and we can decide where we go from that from there. But for now, the focus just has to be solely on winning that game of football tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think what a good thing to do is look at other teams round about us. With the exception of probably Ross County, I suppose you could look at Dundee United to an extent. I think a lot of people thought they were going to be languishing at the bottom, but didn't really know anything about their manager. And they've kind of a commanded fourth position really for quite a bit of time. But you've got to look at the likes of Aberdeen, who've got rid of obviously the big kind of fanfare for Scott Brown going, and Stephen Glass, they've got rid of him. They've got their new manager in now, and obviously he done well relatively well at St Mirren. Now you hear their fans been not satisfied with the way that the team's performing. If you just look at Hibs, where they were getting praised for their out the box appointment, Sean Maloney, who been involved with Belgium national team, and look how that lasted. And I mean, it's David Gray's the manager there now. St Johnstone, yes, they won the two cups, and now that I think I've said it, and I'll stick with it. St Johnstone were the worst team that I've seen at Firth Park in a long, long, long time. So there's a lot of teams had similar runs to us. We've just managed to accumulate the points to get us where we are. Have I enjoyed the season? Probably not. But see, if you fast forward 5 years and you look back and say, remember the season we finished fourth or fifth, we were all moaning, and this year we're fighting relegation, I would do anything to be fighting, moaning about finishing fourth or fifth. But listen, I can understand people's negativity. I think the manager is different from any other manager. We things like changing the dugout to the other side, the corners, he's kind of a persistent, getting booked, getting sent off. He's kind of a manner, his post-match interviews different from what we've kind of been used to. I do think he's quite personable with the support. You've seen how much it meant to him the other day, although, again, the fans did let it know and they were singing Keith Lashley's name at the end of it, which I think is a big point. So all in all, I can't be critical of anybody that isn't happy with the manager, because probably deep down I'm not, and I'm probably just a bit of a shitebag to stand up and shout at the manager, because it goes against my moral compass that, as you say, I support my own. I don't feel that being negative towards somebody's going to actually improve the situation. I just get frustrated when I hear it during a game directed at the manager, who's, at the end of the day, is trying his best to do what he can, and people don't agree with it. At the end of the day, as I said a minute ago, if you fast forward the time 5 years, and you say, remember, we were all moaning when we're getting to the last game, potentially to finish fourth, I wish you could have that day back. That's got a likelihood of happening. Almost echoes of what Gary Neville said, I wish we'd never get rid of Graham Alexander, and that always features in my mind, because we've spoken about this a lot, about the Salford City thing, where you almost feel the same as what Gary Neville and that saying. The games were just energyless at times, and there wasn't any kind of a excitement in them, but they were grinding out results and they just get sick of it. And I feel as if that's what's happening with Motherwell a wee bit. So maybe his style just doesn't suit the football fan of this day and age. But at the end of the day, it's football, isn't it? And we'll see what the future holds for him.
The final game of the season takes place just after 12 o'clock. I'll just give it the actual time, at 12:15 on Saturday. A trip to Celtic Park for what looks inevitably to be Celtic's title winning party. We've been there before for a final day of the season fixture. Went there 2016-17 under Mark McGee, came out at the end of a 7-0 defeat. The crowd will be boisterous, to say the least. It'll be a pretty raucous atmosphere, and one that I don't think many Motherwell fans will enjoy a great deal. How important is it, Pepe, that we avoid going into that game needing to take something? I think that given the season that Celtic have had, the turnaround that they've had from what was obviously a disaster show last season, they want to go out on a massive high. The league should be over. I think the league, given their goal difference, the league is over, really. But they'll want to celebrate in front of their fans and really demonstrate their superiority, especially given what's going on at the rivals just now and how buoyed they are by their achievements. So it looks like an nigh on impossible task, to be perfectly honest, and I can't see us taking anything from there. It's been a long time since we have. How do you foresee that one? Is it just a case of deal with the Hearts game, because the Celtic game has the potential to be a really, really difficult one?
I think I've not even thought about the Celtic game yet. I think we need to take care of our business at Fir Park. If we're getting into that game needing to take something from it, if we don't do the business against Hearts, you're really fearing the worst. I think anybody at that Celtic are going to get the trophy presented to them. It's going to be a kind of a party atmosphere. I suppose that's at the time that Motherwell sometimes come up trumps. We've done it on numerous occasions. We've been the party peoples at both sides of the old firm. The Rangers were going to win 9 in a row, and the Mayday holiday, and Morton Coyle scored a couple, and then we've had Scott McDonald with a famous helicopter Sunday. So it's in our locker that we can do it, particularly when people don't believe and we're outnumbered as we support. So we've got that, and definitely got it in our locker. So nothing would surprise me. I was lucky enough to be one of the few Motherwell fans at that Owen Coyle day, and I'll never forget it. And it would be great to go there. Obviously, first and foremost, to win as a Motherwell fan at Celtic Park, and kind of put a wee dampener on their party. But can I see it happening? Or, I don't think any Motherwell fan could. But how good would it be if that was the end of the season? And as you say, that puts the whole season into that's what you talk about. So that's what the incentive is there for the players. It's what the manager will be telling the players. At the end of the day, anything's possible. It would be a great end to the season. Do I see it happening, as I said? Probably not. But that's what would make it even more special if it did happen, because you're so adamant that it will only happen. But it would be a great finish, and if it ended up we finished fourth, I think a lot of people would then think, do you know what? It's not been that bad a season. And we've overachieved. So yeah, it's unlikely, but there's nothing wrong about dreaming about something that could be really special.
Something I didn't mention, and you did when you were talking about the Ross County game, but since then Graham Alexander's done another press conference and he says that there's now even more players suffering from the bug that's seems to have kind of been rife around Fir Park over the last week or so. That Graham Alexander's no stranger to gamesmanship and trying to throw out a few curveballs to the opposition. Do you think it's a mixture of both here? It was obviously the case that Kevin Van Veen came on and Saturday scores the winning goal, but was clearly suffering from ill health. Now that we're kind of 4 days on, you're kind of hoping that Kevin Van Veen's ready to start the game tomorrow night. Do you believe it's the case that there's a few more extras, or is it just a wee bit of a swerve, if you like?
That's been my issue with him the full season, and it's been my main gripe that you never know. It's got to the stage now where I don't listen to what he says. I think he's a wee bit more honest after the game. But there's been that many times where he said, oh, this one's no fit, and then he might make the bench, and then he's in the starting lineup. We've called it that many times. Certainly, the only reason it makes me think to believe it a bit more now is the fact that at Ross County, we could see that the squad was depleted. We had the young Irish boy on the bench. You had the young boy that Campbell on the bench. And I think that when I can't see why he would continue going down that route. I do think there is a bit of he tries to play the mind games, but that side of the game annoys me. Just play it out, what you've got. But that's obviously his tactics, and I don't particularly like it. That's one of my main gripes with him. That and moving the dugout, that annoyed me and all. I think all these wee things are just factors that add up. The one player that I think makes a huge difference to that team, particularly going into a game like this, would be Kevin Van Veen. I think he is so important to us getting a result tomorrow, and I'd be absolutely gutted, and it would give me a bit less confidence if we're looking at Joe Efford, Shields, up top. I just don't think. I think Shields has done well. He's got plenty of energy. Efford, I'm not sure about. I think Woolery comes in bits and bobs where you think, oh, he looks a player, and then goes missing. So yeah, I think. And by the way, where's Jordan Roberts? What's happened to him? I don't know if you can fill me in on that. Is he not getting a game? Is he injured? Again, that's another gripe.
It's a confusing one, that. It's a confusing one, that, with Roberts. I did a stats piece for the programme tomorrow night, and they've got... And I was just going through kind of facts and figures from the season, and some of them were really quite interesting, even if I say so myself. But it was the one where it came to the player that's come on most as a substitute for Motherwell this season, and Jordan Roberts leads the way. 11 times Roberts has come on as a sub, but I can't really remember seeing him since Hibs in the Cup, I don't think.
What I find weird is, like, see when you go back to the kind of the game at Ibrox, when Woolery and him looked as if they were doing great, you would have thought that he would have really pushed on after that. But that's again what I'm trying to say is that there doesn't ever really seem to be any update with regards to injuries. And sometimes I'm thinking to myself, have I just missed it? Because I do switch off from the press conferences. But Jordan Roberts just seems to be a forgotten man. He's signed him, I suppose, in theory, three times. Three different windows he's signed short-term contracts. So he obviously rates him at some stage. It wouldn't continually go back for him. I've never really been sure of him. I mean, the finish against Ross County was sublime. And that's going to be the highlight of his little career. He's seen in bits and bobs that he's got something about him. That obviously, the game at Easter Road that we always go back to, when Tony Watt played that brilliant pass, and he slots the ball away. He has had some decent showings, but he's just not consistent enough. He's not fit. But where is he? You know what I mean? As you say, I can't even remember the last time that he was in the squad. It's the type of the thing with the manager with Graham Alexander is we're sitting here talking about this. It wouldn't surprise you if he ends up in the starting team tomorrow. That's how kind of a strange a manager he is. That's the kind of thing that he'll do. But I think a lot. I was talking to a couple of fans up at Dingwall on Saturday, and I think a lot of fans had forgot about him. He just goes through wee spells. Like, I'm a loser, was out the squad, and then he was getting brought on, and I think he got brought on at Ibrox, didn't he, as well? And it just seems to be irrational decisions at times, and I think that's part of the reason why people get frustrated. And now I'm beginning to find myself turning and saying, I think I'm up and down with him tonight. But I need to remind myself that we're sitting close to fourth position. But there's all these wee factors that add up, and that's what makes me understand why people are getting frustrated.
The last appearance was against Hibs in the Scottish Cup. And I can remember that day as well, being quite frustrated with Roberts' performance. It was one of the rare times he started. And the game was crying out for Kane Woolery when Hibs were beginning to get really nervous, and it took him till the 81st minute to bring Woolery on for Jordan Roberts, who was toiling big time. He was lucky to still be on the park, given his earlier foul as well, given that Willie Collin was clearly in the mood to dish out a few red cards. So it was, I think it was a bizarre signing, Roberts, in January, and straight away it looks like the manager's proved us wrong, because he comes off the bench and rams home that absolutely brilliant goal in Dingwall. But then since then, the goal at Ibrox and not much else. It must be difficult at the same time when you're just getting those sporadic appearances. It's hard to build up any sort of momentum and consistency as a result of that.
It's just a lack of updates that frustrate me more than anything else. As I've said, and I think Andy P was the same. I always remember that the three of us kind of clashed a wee bit. You'd kind of thought he'd done enough to merit us going back in for him, and I was kind of the two of us kind of thought, well, we're not 100% sure. Actually, weirdly, remember when he signed the Alexander's first window, and it was a kind of big gob, we'll be signing announced in the next half an hour, and then when Jordan Roberts was unveiled, it was the biggest anti-climax signing that I think we've ever had, because we knew that he had kind of he'd been at Inverness, and then he'd come back and he wasn't cutting it at Hearts, and we're all like, what are we doing signing somebody that can't even cut it at Hearts? And then he kind of turned it round about. But now he just seems to be the forgotten man. Is he injured? Is he just that far down the pecking order that he doesn't ever seem to ever mention in a press conference. But end of the day, as I said, mark my words, he'll end up being he'll play as a striker tomorrow and score against his old club, and it'll be a ploy for Graham Alexander all along.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. Now, I hope you're proven wrong there. But I suppose then you'll turn it around to me and say that I was wrong about signing him in the first place. But I would add, after signing him in the first place and then getting him on loan again at the start of this season, definitely after the second spell, I had my mind made up that I didn't want him for a third time. Although it's definitely been better for him in the second half of the season, given those two goals, because he did the square root of sweet fuck all in the first half of the season, put it that way. Don't think there's a great deal else to be discussing.
Just one thing that came into my mind, Andy, I think needs to be mentioned. When I mentioned the young boy Campbell being on the bench, automatically came into my mind, Alan Campbell. What a season he's had. It's phenomenal for him to go down there. And I seen a picture of him on Twitter with the four trophies. Obviously, they'd all different players of the year. It's great that we all knew how much a player he is and can be. I think we all said, Turnbull get all the credit, and I still think David Turnbull will be a phenomenal player. But Alan Campbell was just that wee bit different. And surely he must be close to getting in that Scotland squad. When you look at some of the players that are getting caps, yeah, this boy has went down to Luton, and we all kind of thought, Luton, I mean, what you got to Luton for? And now they're going to potentially, well, they're not potentially, they're in the playoffs, but potentially could be in the Premier League next year. And he'll feature in that squad as player of the year. So that's got to be one of the biggest success stories for academy. And it can't go unmentioned.
No, that's a good point, and something that shouldn't be overlooked. The Scotland thing as well, given how many games Scotland will have in June, I think Steve Clarke will go with a bigger squad. Surely the opportunity will come at that point. It would be great to see him there, and it would be very much on merit as well. Luton are three games away from potentially being in the Premier League. I know that they were putting together how much each squad cost, but that doesn't count for everything all the time. You look at what's happening in Scotland just now with part-timer Broth. They've just forced or set up a really interesting second leg against Inverness with a 0-0 draw tonight. That's all to play for in the second leg at Gayfield as well. Inverness won't be looking forward to that one, a very difficult tie for them. There's no reason why they can't go that one step further, Luton, and achieve Premier League football. And if that was to happen, it gives them the platform to really excel. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see a few teams sniffing about them.
That's what I was going to say next. Say Luton don't make it to the make it into the Premier League, and you've got the teams that are just getting promoted, the likes of the team that I'd probably say would be Fulham, with a few Motherwell connections with Fulham, with Sean Hutchison and Ross McCormick. What kind of fee do you think Luton would demand for a player like Alan Campbell? And what would that look like for us? We would hopefully have a massive sell-on clause, and I think that, if I'm not wrong, I'm pretty sure that they say that the negotiations with that was a big factor in how he ended up at Luton. So for me, I'm already kind of quite excited about it with the prospect, because I think a team, as I said, Fulham, a Bournemouth, or even a team that's coming down for the Premier League, you know, like a Norwich or somebody like that, would maybe go in and
is it outrageous to suggest a side like, and just going in the fact that Stevie Gerrard, well, I've seen him a fair few times play against Rangers, albeit we've lost most of those games, but I would imagine that Stevie Gerrard, who I always thought was very respectful towards the standard of Scottish football, would keep tabs on a player like Alan Campbell. They've got a linchpin in their side in the form of John McGinn. And it's not saying that Alan Campbell's going to go to the Premier League and play week in, week out, but taking that extra step, he's already demonstrated, and there's no getting away from it. You're kind of going, well, why are you going to Luton? But in the grand scheme of things, Luton are a bigger club in the sense of they've got a bigger supporter base, they've got more resources. If he was to take another move up, having proven himself on, I don't want to say a bigger stage, because it gets you into bother that comparing Scottish and English football, but if he got that extra chance to make another jump, I think he could excel again. I don't know where the glass ceiling is for him. I sometimes thought there was wee bits of his game that were not quite developed or a wee bit more limited than other bits of his game. But he's proven any bit of doubt wrong there. He's had an absolute phenomenal season. And it could be the man that fires them to what, £200 million in promotion? And what bigger... It's normally the bank holiday Monday, isn't it? And there's loads of eyes on that game. It could be. There could be so much more yet to come over the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Yep. Just something popped into my head there. Who was the last Millwall player to score the winning goal in that kind of famous, what do they call it, the most expensive game in world football? Can you remember who it was that scored the winning goal?
Stephen Pearson.
That's right, aye. So, again, it's another wee bit of, well, happen again, and certainly I'll be watching the playoffs and watching how he, because when I'll be honest with you, I've not seen many Luton games this season. I don't think many Millwall fans will have, and I know there's a lot of Millwall fans saying, well, he's not at Millwall anymore. I know there was a fair bit of love with Louis Moulton, a couple of the supporters saying, well, at the end of the day he's away, let him go. But I think with Alan Campbell it's completely different. You still get that picture of him in my head with kind of wee mullet at the back and his spike as a young boy, and he could go on to being a 10, 15 million pound player with it. And that's not me exaggerating, that's just the price of the English market. One player that I would, again, I'm not making a comparison, but you've got to look at the likes of Maddison, and I know he's a different type of player than Maddison, but he was at Aberdeen. Went back to Norwich with no real great hopes, and now they're talking 50 million for him, maybe even more. Could Alan Campbell go to a team like you've already mentioned, Villa, Brighton, teams like that? And these teams throw money at clubs like Luton, do you know what I mean? So I think it's really exciting, and it's great to see a product to our academy. You see how much the Luton fans love him. He's not going to be far away for getting that big move. Hopefully he ends up taking Luton there and we start watching him play for Scotland.
Yeah, fingers crossed. The other thing I had written down, and to be honest, I can't even bother talking about it, but we'll get a new pitch, which seems to excite some people, but it certainly doesn't excite me. It's a hybrid pitch, so... people kind of misconstrued it a wee bit when it was first reported and thought that we were getting a plastic pitch. No such worries there. Seems like it will be less maintenance, hopefully, and I'm sure that it will continue the being done on the far part surface over the last...
Majority kind of I know Liverpool's is hybrid, I think, and Man United's and stuff like that. So I think it's just a change in the technology, the grass, if there's such a thing, if grass can be classified in a technological way. But again, it doesn't really bother me. It's an improvement on where we were when we were up to our knees in sand. I had to watch what I was saying there in case I got accused of singing a song there.
I was wondering where it was going, to be honest. I was
going to
end the call.
Actually, I thought myself, this has got to sound bad, but you know what I mean? We were kind of put in the sandpit, and it is, but again, it doesn't really interest me too much. We'll look forward to getting back to seeing it, and that's it, really. It's just a pitch, isn't it?
Yeah, here, just one final one. Like, on Campbell, how massive an endorsement is that for our club's academy? to have brought through a player like that and to potentially have the scope to go on and earn big money moves like he appears to be destined for. I think when it comes down to it and you're fighting against teams around the same kind of budget and such, like when young boys are just starting out, maybe they've even got offers from the likes of Celtic or Rangers, but when did they get a chance? Very rarely, very, very rarely.
But you know,
the
frustrating thing though, Andy, is it's really just the Millwall fans that are, I've not seen any in the tabloids doing a piece on him winning these Player of the Year awards at a Championship club that are an underdog, that he, it's not single-handedly, but he's been a massive part of getting him into that sixth position. I would have loved to have seen the odds. Yet Calvin Ramsey, who has done nothing compared to what Alan Campbell's did, is the next great hope of Scottish football, getting touted for a £4 million move to Liverpool. Again, I just get frustrated with the way that this boy should be getting totally put into Steve Clark's thoughts by our media, and I think it shows it's just not a Motherwell thing. It's just that he's not a fashionable type player. He's not, if it was David Turnbull who was down there putting the ball in the back of the net, he is. I mean, obviously there was old, he's the Motherwell's Kante or Lanarkshire Kante, whatever you want to say. But they're the type of players now that are so important. And I don't think you can underestimate what he's achieved. He's left. I would go as far to say that he's going to potentially be the most successful product at our academy. And I include Faddy in that. If he continues going at the pace that he's going at. I just think he's phenomenal. And what I really like about him is he seems such a good guy. He almost reminds me of Keith Lasley, and the personality and the kind of humbleness of him. So he seems to have the complete package. So I think it's a massive thing for our academy, that players, you can use such a player as an example, see the guidance that he's got. I don't think that you can underestimate how important that is.
No, absolutely. I completely agree. Mate, I think that's pretty much all we've got for tonight. Thank you very much for your time.
No, I thoroughly enjoyed it. You can't beat a good 15-minute love-in for Alan Campbell.
And we've got a big couple of days coming up, and then we'll do some sort of kind of recap on the two games and then a season review over the next week or so. But thanks very much for your time tonight.
No problems. Enjoyed it as always, mate.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back at the start of next week. Until then, thank you, goodbye.
My name is Erno Rubik. I made the cube.
Probably you heard it before.
Tumbling, fumbling around my head. You know my love, and baby, don't back down. My head's a Rubik's cube.
Basic form, capable to change, to change, to change, to change, to change.
I tumble and fumble around instead. You know my head is like a Rubik's cube. Ooh, ooh. Except all them colors turn to blue. Unless I'm tumbling and fumbling with you. I'm tumbling and fumbling. I'm tumbling and fumbling. I'm tumbling.
The Cube, capable to change. The Cube, without a special. The Cube, finally I succeed. The Cube, nowadays, it goes to the Cube.
Do you remember the first time you saw
The Cube?
Why do you think the Cube is so popular?
The Cube became popular.
Sometimes my colors, baby, but just in prepare. One cube, six size, nine stickers, and there's 54 squares. Turn my grooves, if you figure me out, I give you 20 moves. It's just a cube, why does it feel like I got something to prove to you? Why does it feel like I got something to prove to you? Why does it feel like I got something to prove to you?
This is shite.